Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yeah, I just noticed something this morning, actually, in my time with the Lord, my footstool time, from the passage that Ron read. I planned on doing something a little different, but we walked in today and the Lord said, I want you to talk about that. And that is what this woman said when she went to the Samaritans. After she leaves Jesus, the disciples show back up, bringing him food. She's had her encounter with him. And when they show up, she takes off towards a sidecar. And all these men are sitting around. And she goes and tells them, he said, I've met a man who's told me everything I've ever done. When you read the story of the woman at the well, and when Jesus first encounters her, she's obviously living a life of just being hidden away. We've talked about this, that she goes to get the water in the middle of the day when nobody else was there. She lived as a social outcast and so had embraced that world. And because she was a social outcast, had no real relationships. She was living with the sixth man. She married the five before, and she's living with the sixth. And I believe this because she wasn't going to take a chance of being humiliated again. As I've said before, in Jewish law that Moses came up with, a man could divorce his wife for really anything, but she couldn't divorce him. And then I doubt that all five had died. Then surely some of them actually left her or whatever. But her life was one of tragedy. But she's obviously now, she's made bad choices and obviously now living with a man. And when Jesus says to her, go get your husband, when she talks about receiving living water, she says to Jesus, well, I don't have a husband. But she wasn't transparent with him. And then Jesus said, you've spoken well. He says that you don't have a husband because you've had five of them. The one that you're living with now is not your husband. And her response was, you must be a prophet. And in this experience, Jesus talks about being a true worshiper. He harvests her heart. But I think about that is that I would imagine up to that point, if she was ever confronted with her stuff or maybe in her own mind, she spent a lot of time in her life with bitterness, don't you think? She was like me and you. She's had five husbands. Some of that had to be rejection or just disappointment. She's now living with a man. She's in shame. And people have rejected her to such a degree she's going to get water when nobody else would go when it's 110 degrees outside. So I'm sure she struggled with a lot of resentment, rejection, unforgiveness, regret, shame about a wasted life. And I imagine a lot of her thought life is all these things hadn't happened to me. Because it wasn't all her fault. Couldn't have all been all her fault, right? And maybe that was what she said to other people too. Well, you know, all these things that have happened to me. But something happened to her when she encountered Christ. And in a way, when she didn't answer him transparently, she was still not owning her stuff. When she says, well, I don't have a husband. She didn't say, and that was partly true, right? A lot of us, one of the ways you can tell you're not living transparent before the Lord is that we talk to him a lot of part truths. Because it's really a lot not like my fault. I mean, it's their fault, right? And I'm really angry, but it's because of the way he acted or she acted or have resentment or jealousy or whatever. It's really their fault or its fault or, you know, I'm walking through all this fear and anxiety or whatever, resentment. It's not really my fault. At least it's not all my fault. But by the time she finished encountering Christ and she goes in the sidecar, she says, I met a man who told me everything I've ever done. She wasn't blaming anybody else anymore. It wasn't their fault anymore. It wasn't that they weren't at fault. But you see, when what must have happened to her, the scripture says the kindness of God leads a person to repentance. And I think for the first time, and Jesus kind of goes right to the sore point. She's tried to avoid this and avoid it in her own heart or make excuses, and Jesus comes right at it and goes, well, go get your husband. And so he just opens up this bag of worms, but she says, I don't have one. And when Jesus said, you've spoken well, he didn't say, no, you sorry bum, you worthless person, you failure. He just said, you've spoken well. You've told the truth that you don't. There was no rejection. He just was exposing the truth. And he offered her, before all that, already knowing all those things about her, and I'm sure that, you know, your life flashes before your eyes. When Jesus said those things to her, she's realizing this one who's waited for her and offers her living water that would quench her thirst forever knew all this stuff about her already. Yet he's offering her as gift. He said it was a gift. I think that kindness that she encountered in the voice of Jesus, who came to reveal the heart of the Father, right? I counted this morning over 125 times in the Gospel of John alone, Jesus refers to God as Father. You know, when Jesus healed the man by the gate, beautiful, after being sick for 30 or crippled for 38 years, you know what really got the Jews mad? What really got them mad wasn't just that he healed on the Sabbath, but he referred to God as his Father. And their statement was, well, if he calls God his Father, he thinks he's equal with God. Isn't that sad? They never could call him Father. And I believe what Jesus revealed, the kindness of God in speaking to her about her stuff, for the first time in her life, she was able to own it. It wasn't anybody else's fault but hers. And there was such freedom in that. There's such healing in that. You see, I always wondered what would happen to mankind if, when the Lord confronted Adam, if he had just said, well, it was my fault. Or when he confronted Eve, if she would have just said, well, no, it was actually my fault. But he blamed her and she blamed the devil. One of the things about the Lord is that you don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to blame everybody else. You don't have to try to build yourself up so that you feel good about yourself by making excuses. He can't heal excuses. He can only cleanse and heal sin. And somewhere in that conversation, as Jesus exposed the fact that he knew everything about her, she felt like for the first time it was okay to say, yeah, I did it. And it's there we get set free. It's there we get healed. Because I can't blame it on anybody else. It's my sin. I can get healed of my sin. I can be forgiven of my choices. I can't do anything else about their choices or it or that situation, right? That just blew me away when I saw that this morning. How freely she ran into that town. And they'd probably all heard the excuses for all the years. Run into that town, that hyper-religious place, to these people who'd rejected her for decades, and she said, I just met a man who told me everything I've done. Incredible, huh? You see, in the presence of the Lord is the one place where you can be who you really are and who you are called and long to be at the same time. It's such healing. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.